Welcome, friends, to the Thus Saith the Lord radio broadcast brought to you by the Central Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Surely, if you have any questions about the Bible or desire a free Bible study course, we would love to hear from you. You may write to us at the Central Church of Christ at 112 Haylong Avenue, Haylong, Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, 38474. Or you may telephone us at 931-215-7801. Today, friends, we want to talk about the providence of God. The providence of God, indeed, is a great and wonderful subject. It is one that will strengthen our faith and multiply our joy and peace if we are right with the Lord, knowing that we can trust in Him, and that His mighty providential hand is working in our behalf. As the name implies, the word providence has to do with God's providing for us, and in fact, providing for and upholding and sustaining and preserving His great creation. An understanding in the providence of God and a trust in God's providence no doubt will cause us to lean more heavily upon the Lord. It will lead an individual to, if he will allow it to do so, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. It will cause us to do the thing that the psalmist declared in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. And surely the Apostle Peter expressed this principle in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 when he said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. As we think in terms of God's providence, we realize that it is the Lord's power that is upholding all things. In Hebrews 1:3, who, being the brightness of His glory, referring to Christ, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Christ certainly was involved in the creation as the one who created the universe and all the creation, but also by the word of His power is involved in sustaining and upholding the creation. In Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, for by Him, that is Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. When we think in terms of God's providential working, we realize that God is of such a nature that He would not create the creation and then just go off and leave it. This is what the deists claim, that God just wound everything up like a clock and set things in motion, then went off and left it. We certainly do not believe that. In the words found in Unger's Bible Dictionary, the statement is made that God could create the world and then forsake it is inconceivable in view of the perfection of God, and certainly we agree with that statement. In Acts chapter 17, Paul makes statements to the Athenians that imply God's providential working. For example, in verse 25, He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And in verse 27, He be not far from every one of us. And in verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. When we think about the word providence, it comes from the Latin word providentia, meaning foreseen, a term that indicates God's continual care over the universe that He has created. I believe the definition that the late Brother Thomas B. Warren gave in a book entitled The Providence of God on page 34 is a very sound and correct statement regarding God's providence. He said, quite simply, the providence of God is a word used to refer to what God does in foreseeing and making available to man those things which he really does need, not merely wants. The providence of God necessarily entails God's infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, infinite goodness, infinite power, infinite presence, and so on. Thus, providence involves foresight and knowledge of true goals, love, direction, power, care, and so on, end of quote. As this definition implies, and as the Bible does teach, we see God's purpose and His will behind His providential working. However, in His mighty providential hand, He does not contradict man's free will or take away man's ability to make choices. However, God is able, in working all things together for good, to overrule in the affairs of men, and after men have made decisions, even those that are contrary to His will, to bring about the ultimate good. We know that in the providence of God, God is able to overrule and to use even things done by evil men to bring to pass His will. We might illustrate it like by the mighty Mississippi River that begins up in Minnesota and eventually empties out into the Gulf of Mexico, that there are many creeks and streams and rivers and tributaries that feed into the mighty Mississippi. And regardless of how large the rivers are that empty into the Mississippi, once they come to the Mississippi River, they are now under its control. The mighty Mississippi carries them down and out into the Gulf of Mexico. In like manner, God in His mighty stream of providence is able to overrule in the affairs of men. In Genesis chapter 22, we have an example of God providing. When God passed the test, when Abraham passed the test, when God commanded him to take his son Isaac up upon a mountain and offer him in sacrifice, and Abraham was willing and ready to do that very thing, and then God stayed his hand. He had passed the test, and God provided a ram caught in the thicket by his horns for the offering. In Genesis 22, verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Jehovah it shall be provided. We note that Paul makes a statement to the faithful Philippian congregation, the Lord's church of Philippi, in Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We know that when it comes to the matter of providence, there is God's general providence, His general care and preservation of His creation, and even wicked men are the recipients of God's blessings coming from God's general providence, as we know that He makes His sun and rain to come upon the evil and the good, according to what Jesus taught there in Matthew 5, verse 45. By virtue of the fact that people are creatures on this planet, they are the recipients of many blessings of God's hand in His general providential care over the universe. But then there is God's special providence, a special promise for a special people, the special blessings that He has for those who love Him, for those who are the called according to His purpose. Those who are called according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, who are God's called and chosen people because they have chosen to obey the gospel and to follow Jesus Christ. Those who love the Lord are those who are His called and faithful. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. This promise is made to this class of people who love the Lord. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So even bad things that may happen to us or evil deeds that wicked men may do against us, if we love the Lord, if we are truly His called people, that is Christians, then all things will work together for our good. God will see to that, that will be the case. And we know in Matthew 6:33 that Jesus made this promise regarding our needs on this earth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And thus we should not worry and be over anxious about what we shall eat or drink or the clothing that we shall put on. For God will provide these things. We have a great example of God's providential working in the man Joseph in the book of Genesis. We remember how that Joseph's brethren, they were all the children of Jacob, envied Joseph, the recipient of his father's coat of many colors that he gave him, and they betrayed their brother, and eventually he wound up as a slave down in Egypt in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's worldly wife laid lustful eyes upon Joseph and sought to get him to lay with her, but he refused and fled and got out of the house. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39:9. Later on, she falsely accused Joseph and he became a prisoner down in Egypt. So he went from being a slave to a prisoner. And while down in the prison, he interpreted the baker's and the butler's dreams properly according to God's wisdom given unto him and knowledge, and eventually wound up being the governor of Egypt. And as governor, he preserved many people from starvation. And most importantly, he preserved the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through whom the Savior, Jesus Christ, would come of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7:14. And in the first verse of the New Testament, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In Genesis 45:7, Joseph said to his brothers, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. In the next verse, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And in chapter 50:20, he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And so God used the evil deeds of Joseph's brethren to get Joseph down into Egypt to raise him up to the place of governor, and that he might preserve great posterity and many lives by the work that he did. Friends, we thank you for listening today. We hope and pray that you will continue to study with us on this subject the next time as we look at the providence of God. Encourage each and every one to believe and obey the gospel, to believe and be baptized that we might be saved, Mark 16:16. We thank you. We pray the Lord bless you. Thank you.